T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The home of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier, afternoons 2 to 6. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, an Odyssey station.
This hour of Fitzy and Mego is brought to you by United Office, helping restaurants maximize phone revenue at unitedoffice.com.
A Boston sports superfan.
What's up, Mick?
Yeah. All right, Tom.
She's on the beat for a new generation of sports fans.
What is the Justice League? Is that the same thing as the Avengers?
I like this lady that you have on the line. She makes a lot of sense.
Tell her what you wish now.
Now I wish he fell.
It's Fitzy and Mego.
The name of this show should be Off the Rails.
Your narcissism is ruining the program.
I'm sorry. I'm a disaster.
Fitzy and Mego on WEEI.
All right. We're already laughing. It's a good start. It's a good start. It's Fitzy and Mego, but today we are joined by Tom E. Curran, Patriots insider from NBC Sports Boston. He just came up here from camp, correct?
That is correct, my friend.
You were at camp this morning. I was not at camp this morning, but I was at camp the last 2 days.
Sure you were.
Took this morning off.
I just executed a tweet, taking a picture of me and the Mego, and took way longer than it should have. And between that and my inability to connect to the Red Level press box and to have 3 IT people around me, starting to confirm that I have indeed reached middle age.
Did you actually have the... So for before we get into that very interesting insight from Patriots training camp, Nick Fitzy Stevens is on vacation today, and we have Tommy Curran from NBC Sports Boston, Patriots insider, filling in. Did you actually have to get IT involved yesterday?
I had 3.
At Gillette?
I had my guy Victor.
Because you walked into the press box the other day, and you go... This is everybody's working, and you make everybody take their earphones out, their earbuds and everything. You go, this is embarrassing. Does anyone have a hotspot? Can't connect.
And I wouldn't have even known what a hotspot was until the other day when I was sitting there and I had Victor from IT and 2 other guys, and they're trying to rack their brains and figure out how come I can't find the Red Level press box. Also happened to another 50-something, Levin Reed. And then someone said,
hotspot.
Yeah, no. And then they said, here, go ahead, use my hotspot. And I said, that sounds filthy, but I'll try it. And it worked. So that's why I was in search of a hotspot.
Well, we're all looking for that hotspot down at training camp, including Bill Belichick. Did that work?
I don't know.
This is my first time in the one seat.
No, let's move off the hotspot talk.
Okay, let's move off the hotspot. Let's get right into... first impressions from camp. So what they're doing in camp right now this week, no pads on yet. No pads, just helmets, as Bill Belichick said in his first in-person press conference with us at camp on Wednesday, I believe that was. So what can we take, or Thursday, what can we take away from this week's camp when there is so little contact and it is no pads?
More than anything, it forces the Patriots to spend more time on their passing game. So it's an extension of passing camp, extension of mini camp, and you're getting a real good idea of reads, what their starters are, what their pecking order is outside, a tight end, and how the 2 quarterbacks really are at discerning where they want to go with the football. And that, to me, has been the story of the first 4 days of camp, is the speed with which Mac Jones, forget Cam. It's the speed with
forget Mac, Cam already.
We're
already forgetting Cam.
Mac Jones in a vacuum, because everything keeps coming back to Cam. But if you compare a first year rookie quarterback in the NFL, which Mac Jones is, to the other ones we've seen come through, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jarrett Stidham, Jacoby Brissett, and how this kid looks compared to how they looked in terms of processing information, there is no comparison.
Well, before we even get to that, so just this morning, we had a little bit of what I would say is breaking news, although it's kind of going back to what we heard on Mac Jones's draft night.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Belichick was asked about his starting quarterback. Stiz on the ones and twos. Can we get what Bill Belichick said about who his starting quarterback is right now?
Do you have an ideal time frame for naming a starter to help you get ready for the season?
No. Well, I mean, Cam's our starting quarterback. I think I've said that, so.
He has said that. He said that a couple months ago, correct?
Yeah, he did. He said it wearing a suit and tie on the night of the first round of the draft.
So are you surprised to hear him say that this week? Because I personally was thinking it's just going to be a matter of time until that line comes out again, which we heard week after week after week towards the end of last season of, are we going to see Jarrett Stidham? Who's the starter this week? Cam's our starter. It's like his new favorite phrase. We're back to Cam instead of we're on to blank. We're back to Cam.
This is the process, though. And that's what I think we are kind of losing sight of as media, as fans. The process is someone has to be at the top of the depth chart in order to convince Cam Newton to re-sign with this team. And you can say, okay, he didn't have any other options. But the Patriots needed a quarterback before free agency began so that they could say to Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry and anybody else that they wanted to sign, we have a quarterback in place. They weren't going to give Cam a $12 million contract. They weren't going to give him a two-year contract. So what did they have to provide him with to get him to sign then and not take his chances on maybe the Indianapolis Colts when Carson Wentz's foot falls off? They had to provide him with the promise that he would be at the top of the depth chart. The Patriots didn't go out balls to the wall to go and get Mac Jones in the draft, but fortunately for them, he dropped to them. But it would be not a betrayal, but a bastardization of Bill Belichick's pecking order, having been reared in the shadow of the Naval Academy, if he were to say, that's our starter, that's the guy who we have at the top of our depth chart, and then to tear that up in the first week after three unpadded practices. And that actually goes back to something else that I thought was misinterpreted earlier this week. When he said everyone has to establish a level when asked regarding...
He said it's a blank slate.
It's a blank slate for everybody all the time.
Or might have said clean slate. Yeah. Sorry, I don't want to, you know.
Yeah, but everyone has to establish their level. That is his mantra at the beginning of every camp. Didn't matter whether it was Brady or Rob Gronkowski or, you know, Ray Ventrone. You have to establish your level. So when he said that, that wasn't, oh my God, he's already on even playing field with these two? No, it was, that's what I say at the beginning of every camp. And him saying this today, to me, just recalibrates. Unless Mac wins by knockout, unless and until, then Cam's your guy.
Do you think that it is even possible in this camp for Mac to come in and knock Cam out of that top spot by week
1 billion percent.
Really?
1 billion percent.
Because I think personally that it would take, and I hesitate to put this out in the universe, but I think it would take injury for Cam, either serious or at least something that could be written off as a type of excuse injury, saying, oh, there's this issue with mm-hmm. his hand or his knee or something, and it's affecting his throwing motion, and that's why it looks the way it does. You know, or he would have to be incredibly atrocious, which the pads haven't come on yet, but we haven't seen this week yet. He hasn't looked atrocious.
Mm.
Okay, go for it. Go for it then.
What did Bill say also today when asked about making that decision? He said that the two things that I absolutely have to see are production and consistency. First thing being production. Throughout the first 4 days of camp, there's been better production, not completion percentage, which people are probably not attending camp, looking at the 8-for-18 for one guy and 11-for-18 for the other and going, whoa, Cam must have had a better... No, it has nothing to do with that.
The camp stats I can't get with.
So what are we looking at?
And I understand
that... You've been there every day. What are we seeing? Who's managing the offense better? Who is getting more productive reps? Who's throwing the majority of the good balls?
Right. And because the camp stats...
You answer that, though.
Well, I wasn't there today, and apparently it was very ugly today.
It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad?
No,
and Mac... Judging by Twitter, it sounded like apocalyptic.
For the first 3 days of camp, the best throws were delivered by Mac Jones.
Mm-hmm.
The offense regardless of whether or not the throw was completed, moved more smoothly with Mac Jones. And I asked Cam about it, and we're going to get to the sound shortly, is it's so interminably ponderous to watch Cam process information, or at least it was during the first 2 days, that I had to ask him about it. And he was very upfront and forthright about it. So is the offense more productive with one guy or the other? Kind of in the first couple of days with shorts and jerseys on. Is it more consistent with one guy or the other? Yes. And who is it? It's Mac Jones. And we haven't even gotten to the padded practices. And we haven't even gotten to the joint practices.
Yeah, Tom, to me, consistency is the thing that has stuck out the most. And I think that Cam, when he goes into, and these are just 7-on-7, 11-on-11, no pads. Sometimes there's a coach in there waving crazy paddles in the air or what have you to try to, you know, knock down passes at the line of scrimmage. Mac, when he's in there, to me, it just looks like it's more cohesive. It looks smoother. 100%. It looks like he's getting the reads at the right times. The timing is on. The rhythm is on. The connection is there. It's not always there, but it's there more consistently than it is with Cam. Whereas Cam, it's almost like a herky-jerky type of offense to me. And I'm wondering how do you even come in and judge that when Cam has been in the league for as long as he has?
What I would say is, and I'd love to call for the sound now, is the question that I asked Cam yesterday about why it's taking so long for the ball to be delivered. I don't know if Stizzy has that right now.
Oh, I think we are having a technical difficulty.
And we will hit that soon because it was really telling in that he is having some difficulty processing. And the great thing about Cam, Meg, mm-hmm. ask him a question and he generally answers it. He's not evasive. He's forthright. He's upfront. But still, some of the answers that he'll provide are a little bit jolting in that, did he just say he's not positive what to do? Because it'd be fine if it was Jarrett Stidham out there as he was last year and he was also spraying it all over the place or taking a long time. In this instance...
Well, let's go to the sound. We got the sound
Jones
from
is getting it
now. So you asked Cam about his release.
Mm-hmm. Going faster with it. There's some reps where it seems like it's taking a while for the ball to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? How do you work to improve it? Is that part of the process or is it something you're like, geez?
It's what training camp's all about. You know what I'm saying? Of course, we have this mental in our head that, you know, in the classroom or, you know, when we're meeting, you know, coach asks a question, boom, that's where we're supposed to go with the ball. Okay, now you got Devin McCourty showing something, you know, Kyle Duggar showing something, then all of a sudden, you know, Hightower jumps over here, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's like, okay, what do I do? It's just taking the brain a little longer at times, but hopefully with a lot of repetitions, you know, it'll be good.
Oh, I mean, my God.
Definitely, hopefully. I mean...
What do I do?
Can't have that. And I understand, and God bless him again. He's forthright. He answers the question, but...
It's too honest for Foxborough.
We spent last year attributing a slow assimilation process to the fact that he signed at the end of June and that it was a messed up training camp and COVID interfered.
Barely any offseason. Didn't get to gel with his teammates outside of the facility, let alone very much inside of the facility if he was following COVID protocol, because you can't even go and hang out. You know, there was that infamous dinner that happened or didn't happen with Stephon Gilmore. Then they both had positive COVID
right.
tests the next week.
So, I mean, we're looking at that. All those things were attributed to, okay, this is what held him back. So presumption was he's going to be much better this year. And he has been better. But to me, the most important thing from these first few days is how does he look in the offense? Is it coming to him more easily? Is the ball coming out on time? And again, if it was Jarrett Stidham behind him and they both look kind of crappy in terms of processing, that'd be one thing. But Cam's having a hard time processing, acknowledges that. Meanwhile, the guy who was at Alabama...
He's got an ankle biter on him.
3 months ago, he's doing exactly what you want to see. Mike Reese and I were standing next to each other at practice yesterday, and there was a seam throw to Gunnar Olszewski for a touchdown. There was a beautifully thrown ball in the corner to Kendrick Bourne, you probably remember too. And we're just standing there going, that's kind of how it's supposed to look. That's how it looked from 2001 to 2019. The ball comes out at a particular time, and it arrives in the spot that you're looking for it to go.
It just is jarring to me to listen to Cam explain essentially what's walking us through what's going through his mind, because it sounds like he hasn't been at the line of scrimmage before. Like in the National Football League, it sounds like somebody who, it sounds like he's the quarterback who's going from college to the NFL speed and size of play. And it doesn't sound like an 11-year or however many year quarterback, veteran quarterback to me. And I'm wondering if, do you think that Bill hears that and is alarmed at all?
100%. I would think that Josh McDaniels hears that and is alarmed. I would think that Jonnu Smith hears that. Or Hunter Henry. Look, they all like the guy. And it's okay to be honest about the struggles that you're having. And he's fixing them, at least over the last 2 days. He was more crisp, although he was kind of ass at the end of practice today. But he's fixing them. But the interesting thing is, in a vacuum, that's fine. Okay, I'm having some problems. But if the other guy that they just drafted, who is clearly the quarterback of the future, isn't having those problems, well, then that takes a hammer to the notion that Bill saying Cam is our starter means now and forever. The competition is on now. What Bill Belichick said in his previous answer today to Ben Volen, when he said, it will be a hard decision, that's where the progress has already been made. It wasn't a hard decision in April on draft night when he was wearing a suit. He's already gotten to the point where it's going to be a hard decision. There's already a decision up in the air.
We move from Cam. So that's what's interesting to me, because on draft night, it was you draft Mac, first round quarterback, and then it goes immediately to Cam is our quarterback while you're bringing this kid in. And I think that's interesting because we have made some movement, I think, going from Cam is our quarterback to now there's a decision to be made. Whereas I think at the end of last year, when you tried to bring up Jarrett Stidham in any of those Zoom press conferences, the decision wasn't even on the table.
Yeah, and the reason for that, too, was in large part because Jarrett Stidham was not surrounded by players or Cam who were going to make a massive difference. There was not going to be a huge leap forward. Oh, Jarrett's in. Cam was really holding us back from getting the ball to Damir Bird. Probably not. But that's what's going to be interesting when you talk about production and consistency in this camp, in these joint practices, in these preseason games, in the early portion of the NFL season. Are they producing with Cam at quarterback? Is the ball coming out on time? Or is James White a bit player in the offense after an 80-catch year with Tom Brady? Is he a bit player in the offense as he was last year with Cam, because he just doesn't get the ball out there on time and in tempo?
And so for a direct contrast, you asked Mac Jones about his release.
Right.
Stiz, do we have that number five there?
Without a doubt, you get the ball out quicker.
You want to spit that
than
out?
The Jimmy Garoppolo's, Jacoby Brissett's, et cetera. I'm not asking you to compare yourself to them, but why are you able to get it out so quickly? Is that always what you've been able to do? Or explain to me what's going on there.
Yeah, I mean, my whole thing is just whatever the play tells you to do it. And I'm trying to get there, and I'm getting better, and I don't feel like I'm lost out there, but I got to be able to throw the ball to the right guy based on the coverage, based on the problem. So fixing the problem, that's if the ball is supposed to be thrown quick to your first read, then get it out. If not, just make it a process to where you're sticking to it. It's not, oh, I think it's this, so let me try this. It's, I see this, let me do this, if that makes sense. I mean, it's about what I expected. It's hard, and every day is a new day, and I'm going to have bad days, and I'm going to have good days, and we're all just going to get better together, and when I'm in there, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, and everyone else is going to do what they're supposed to do.
To me, that's really fascinating, because he almost articulates what you imagine Cam is saying. Oh, can I do this? Oh, can I do that? And thinking on the fly as to whether or not something is available or not. And you have Mac Jones articulating that that's not what he does. None of this is to say that Mac Jones is more equipped to start an NFL regular season game.
Well,
than
no,
Cam.
But at this point, both quarterbacks have given us insight into their brain, basically, mm-hmm. and saying, you did a very good job, I must say, asking, you know, the similar question of both quarterbacks, and you get a juxtaposition of, in Cam's brain, it's literally, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do at the line of scrimmage? And at the brand new college quarterback, now graduated to the NFL, Mac Jones is getting up there and saying, I see this. Do I want to do that? Or should I do this? Or should I could do that. I think I'm going to go with option number blank, you know? And I think it's very insightful. And it's alarming if Cam is your starting quarterback.
How do you make up for it, I guess, if you're Cam Newton? How do you make up for that shortcoming that you have relative to that player if the 2021 NFL is about throwing the football? You have to do it through leadership. You have to do it through decision-making, toughness. But all of those are intangibles relative to production. Exactly, running. But all of those, except for the running, is an intangible when Bill Belichick is talking about production. Production is what matters. And that's why we're going to find out. You know, we're doing all this, Mego. You and I are going down there. We're chronicling it and reporting on it. But the production is going to be what really bears out in those preseason games, in those joint practices. We're going to get our answer. And Bill Belichick's going to get the answer, too. I don't think it's going to be – he does have to win by knockout, Mac Jones. But I think what Bill Belichick is going to decide is going to be clear to everyone what the decision should be.
But don't those intangibles also, isn't it a struggle? I think it's a struggle to find those intangibles, that leadership, those leadership qualities, as, you know, I think Karen Grigian talked about with him a little bit yesterday. Those are hard to come by if you're losing and you're not producing. When you're not producing and you're... You know, it's too early in camp to say that this is the road that Cam is going down, but should it be the road that he's going down? If you're not producing, it's hard to ask other guys, especially new guys who are also veterans in the league, and say, come along with me. Come along with me down this road. So while those intangibles are important, it's kind of like the only guy who's actually coming into camp with a clean slate are the new roster additions, because they haven't been here in Gillette yet, and Mac Jones, because he's coming from college to the NFL.
Well, that's a really interesting point, too, because if it were Demir Byrd coming back, or, I mean,
Jacoby's coming in, but he overperformed last season.
But they can't say we've seen this movie before.
Right.
If Jonnu Smith had been here in 2020 and not seen production... and seen a, you know, staggering, stuttering, sputtering offense thanks to Cam, then he may be like, oh, we're doing this again? Can't we just? But they don't. They haven't. So they have a persuasive former MVP who's charismatic, who's won, who is there trying to process it. And he's very forthright about it again, as I said. But here's the interesting thing. I guess the why of it. And I got into this in the column that I wrote
last
night.
The why? Let's look deep within.
Why is Mac Jones where he is and why is Cam where he is? If you look at Cam's arc as a quarterback, graduated from Westlake High School in Atlanta in 2007. He was the number two dual quarterback threat in the country. Mm-hmm. Goes to Florida, goes to Auburn, goes to Blinn Community College. By the time he gets to Auburn, in his Heisman year, he runs for, I believe it was 1,300 or 1,600 yards. So he comes to the NFL as the first overall pick after having run for 1,600 yards. And that component of his game was still very much involved. He's run the ball more times than any quarterback in NFL history. He's run for more touchdowns, 70, than any quarterback in NFL history. That dual threat ability has made it so he's always had other options when he gets into the middle of his drop. Mac Jones, as much as we want to talk about how he can run a little bit, well... he's not a runner.
No.
So he has been...
he's a pocket guy.
He's a pocket guy, and this is a pocket offense. So it shouldn't be a surprise, and it shouldn't necessarily be a slight that Cam Newton, after a career doing it one way, has been parachuted into an offense that asks him to do it a different way. It's not a blight on his intelligence. It's not an accusation that he can't succeed in the NFL. It's just that this offense is a poop fit for a guy like that and a smooth fit for a guy like Mac Jones.
All right. Well, we're going to get to a lot more from Patriots camp and what's to look forward to this Patriots season. But right now, we're going to go to trending. Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
OMF, weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, well, the Boston Celtics are trading Moses Brown to the Dallas Mavericks in the Josh Richardson trade, according to The Athletic. Sources tell Shams. In your Red Sox, the Red Sox lost to the Rays last night 7-3. Martin Perez giving up 6 runs through 4 innings. Game 2 of their 3-game series against the Rays is tonight. Joe Castig and Will Fleming will have the call at 6:10, pregame at 5:10. After trading for Kyle Schwarber on Thursday, the Red Sox made a pair of moves to get bullpen depth. They acquired Hansel Robles. Did I say that right?
I don't know. You didn't even try on Robles? Shams' last name.
I know. I always butcher it. It's a hard one. From the Twins and Austin Davis from the Pirates. This is my first trending.
ASS.
You can hear the game right here across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, as well as streaming on the Odyssey app across all 6 New England states. David Krejci released a statement yesterday announcing that he will not be returning to the Bruins. Instead, he will return home to the Czech Republic. Pronounced that right.
Yeah. Spell it.
As part of a 3-team trade, the Celtics got Chris Dunn from the Hawks after sending Tristan Thompson to the Kings. Get out of here, Kardashians. And in a separate deal, the Celtics got Josh Richardson from the Mavericks. As we said, they're also going to be sending Moses Brown.
Don't like it.
See ya, Moses. The United States and China are currently tied for the Olympic medal lead at 45. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
China.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're back to Fitzy and Mego on EEI.
Watch how we go down. What is this, Stiz? I like it.
This is local. This is actually terminology from Massachusetts.
Mm. What part? Name the town. Do you know the town?
Lawrence, Massachusetts.
Lawrence. All right. I cover a lot of bad news in Lawrence.
Well, good news is terminology.
I like it.
I do too.
Terminology. Stiz has all the cool music.
Terminology.
He has cool music.
Thanks, Stizzy.
Anytime all the other producers will ask me for rejoins, and I'll be like, oh, let's play this 12-year-old Jay-Z song.
Hey, Dave Matthews.
Yeah. No.
James Taylor.
Hey, don't hate on Dave Matthews.
Can we get ants marching? Bow. Bow, bow, now.
I had, what was it again? The Flobots.
The Flobots?
Yeah, I'll tell you later.
That sounds like we were just talking about probiotics off air.
I know we're talking about probiotics. I'll tell you, I'll find the commercial I'm trying to.
Talking about disturbing ads, disturbing medical ads.
They're getting more and more disturbing all the time.
What? Wait, and the specific one that you were talking about?
The specific one that I was talking about was talking about just helping individuals become more regular. And in so doing, they used a metaphor for irregular people and what they experience. And it was really jarring to actually see it on TV. It's like, they can't say that. That sounds like something I'd say in a complete joke was in the privacy of my home. Be that as it may, I'm not going there.
Well, we're talking about hip-hop coming out of it. And one of the things coming out of this break, one of the things that Cam complimented his young new buddy, Mac Jones, on was his hip-hop knowledge. Mm. He said he was surprised by that. Do you buy this friendship that may be building? Is it even possible to build a friendship between a 32-year-old veteran quarterback who is fighting for his career in this league and a 22-year-old quarterback who's coming off of 1 year starting at Alabama? And it feels like half the people in this market are calling for him to start the season.
Yeah, I'd buy it.
Yeah?
Because I think these guys are so good at compartmentalizing and understanding, look, we've always competed since we were kids. For jobs, not like Cam was probably competing
at West
Lake. I was going to
say, Cam has not been competing.
But he
since
did it at Florida. He did it at Florida.
Bit.
Okay.
Cam has got to have been the biggest guy who's walked out on every field since he's been 8 years old.
1,000,000,000%.
And a natural athlete and a charismatic, wonderful leader.
But you also have seen over the years, this is how you behave when you are doing the same job as somebody. There's only one of you who can actually practice that job on the field. And as a result, we're competing, but we can still have a friendship, and I can have an appreciation for your hip-hop expertise, and I can give you a nickname and all that stuff. Now, it does become a little patronizing if, you know, he's calling him Mac and Cheese, and Mac and Cheese just threw 3 touchdown passes, and Cam hasn't played in 3 weeks, and Mac and, you know, and we're walking past Cam's locker.
You think Mac and Cheese
locker.
Is patronizing?
It will feel patronizing if, and yeah, I do. I think that a lot
That's his thing, though, throwing out the nicknames to everybody.
Doesn't mean it's not patronizing.
I like a nickname.
Okay.
Every team I've ever played on, you get goofy nicknames. That's where I got my nickname from.
Okay.
Because there were 3 Megans on every team I played in lacrosse.
And what was your nickname?
Mego.
That's really not a nickname.
Why?
That's a bastardization
it's
of your name.
Meg. Oh.
I know.
Mego.
But that's not a nickname.
What?
Like okay. Mac and Cheese and Doughboy and something that is completely unrelated to your name. Those
we haven't heard very much about Doughboy.
Doughboy isn't playing bad.
From Cam Newton, though. We haven't heard
he's
about Doughboy
got enough,
from Cam.
Because, again, this is what I'm talking about. Cam has enough on his plate with Mac and Cheese.
He doesn't need a side of Doughboy.
He has no need to worry about Doughboy or Hoy Hoy or whoever else, you know, because right now he's got enough going on. So, regardless, I don't want to go down the whole nickname thing. But I think if we look at overall, between these two, they can absolutely have a relationship that'll be complementary. What will be fascinating is if indeed this hard decision does go to Mac Jones, what selling point will Bill Belichick hand to Cam Newton to say, we still want you here? Or do they raise the white flag and say, go find another place that you love?
Well, we heard from Bill this morning about how he feels about the quarterback competition, says Cam Newton is his starter as of right now. Cam, yesterday, was asked how he feels about a perceived quarterback competition. Let's hear from him.
Bill said right at the draft that Cam's our starter, and that's how it's going to be.
You're everywhere.
Dominant.
Obviously, we're treating it like it's a quarterback competition. Mm-hmm. Do you perceive it as a competition yourself, or you're like, I'm
ever since I've been here, it's been a quarterback competition. I think that's in essence the underlying Patriot way. You know, every position has a competition there, and the quarterback position is no different. You know, Brian Hoyer is supposed to make me better. I'm supposed to make Mac Jones better. Mac Jones is supposed to make, Brian Hoyer better. You can't forget about Delegata.
Yeah, I knew he had to get Delegata.
That's in the balance, and shout out to him. Hopefully, everything went good for him. But for us, it's just the mentality.
Thank you. My favorite part of his whole press conference, everybody was like, oh, he said cool, like the other side of the pillow, was when he went, Mac Jones is supposed to make Brian Hoyer better. Not Mac Jones is going to make me better. Mac Jones, what was Jared's
no,
first,
he
Jared's
could,
first
no,
name?
No, he couldn't come up with Jake Delegata.
Oh, okay.
That to me was like,
Who's that other quarterback?
We just got him like 2 days ago.
2 days ago from Green Bay?
Yeah. But that, to me, is it's important to ask him, is it a competition? I believe that he does understand he is in one. And it is a quarterback competition. Regardless of what people are perceiving Bill Belichick meant when he said on the morning of July 31st in a WebEx conference call, after having said it's going to be a hard decision that Cam's our starter, that's right now. Has nothing to do with September 12th against the Miami Dolphins. If Cam plays like ass and Mac Jones is capable and everybody on the team can tell it and Bill himself sees it, then we understand who's going to be starting.
The other thing, and I brought up this up before, is that I do think that Bill is very intentional with the way that he manages people. We have talked about this a little bit. Bill is a people person. He knows people. He can read people well, even if he's prickly with the media sometimes because he doesn't like the way the questions are phrased or poking into something
right.
that he doesn't want to get into. He can be defensive. But I also, I think that some of the way that he handles Cam is he knows that Cam needs that if he's going to have any mental confidence stepping up to the line of scrimmage. We've already heard what's going on inside Cam's brain, and it's a scary place to be. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do?
I mean, every coach needs to be manipulative
mm-hmm.
for a variety of reasons. So Bill is manipulative with the media in that, okay, I'm a pretty accomplished coach. If I get pissed off and I don't talk because they ask me irritating questions, then my access is going to be crappy that day and they get nothing out of me. So it's up to them. And that's how he dissuades us from asking agitating questions. We're manipulated in that way. Manipulating Cam to buy in to a competition, to say the right things when he's making, again, short money on a one-year contract. And people can say, what other options does he have? Well, maybe he doesn't have a lot, but what other option do the Patriots have? They just went through a year which, if they had not signed Cam Newton, they would have been relegated to having Jarrett Stidham or Brian Hoyer throwing to Damir Bird and Gunnar Olszewski and N'Keal Harry and Julian Edelman, who got hurt after 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So Cam actually parachuted in and saved their ass. How did he save their ass? By being able to carry the ball 150 times for 12 touchdowns. He was exactly what they needed in 2020 because they were so bad everywhere else.
So you're saying it could have been much worse. If
100%.
You had Jarrett Stidham underneath, under center for last year, it would have been, because I haven't, all I've heard is Cam Newton was so bad last year, that it was such a mess, look what they did in Tampa Bay, look at they had walk out the door with Brady. You're saying Cam Newton parachuted in and saved the season
last
year.
Yes. I mean, they had an offense, despite having no tight ends, they mm-hmm. went in with a straight face with Ryan Izzo. Matt LaCosse opted out, and Ryan Izzo is a traffic cone. He was virtually useless as a tight end in his time here. So they went into the season with no tight ends. They went into the season with Julian Edelman as really their only wideout. Damir Bird was there as well. N'Keal Harry, who's not obviously working out. So what did they need to do to move the football since everybody knew they couldn't throw? They had to be able to run it. So they ended up having fall into their laps because no one else wanted him. Cam Newton, who happens to be the most accomplished runner in many ways in NFL history at the quarterback position. So he did save their ass in some ways. But this reboot is not going to consist of Bill Belichick saying, I need a running quarterback. It'll be a ground-based offense, a solid defense, brilliant special teams, but it still needs a quarterback who can extract something out of the $160 million that they're spending on the Hunter Henrys, Nelson Aguilars, and who's the other guy? Johnny.
So before we move on to some of those receivers and how the receiving core is looking, we just have a couple of minutes before break, and I am worried about my guy.
So far?
I am, but I'm worried. I was worried at camp this week about my little guy, J.J. Taylor.
No, don't be.
You don't think J.J.'s going to be a bubble player?
That
running group is so stacked.
It's stacked, but...
And it looks good.
Who does the job that James White does?
James White.
Who does the job behind James White?
I don't know yet.
J.J. Taylor.
He's so little. He's like a little bowling ball going down the field.
See, that's the thing is, when people talk about depth charts and wide receivers, and people would talk about Edelman or Welker as wide receivers, they're not. They don't play the same position. They play slot. Edelman less so than Welker. but you have to have replacements for the position that's going on. Who's your third down back if not James White? Well, J.J. Taylor would seem to be the fit, although I think Harris and Michelle are better pass catchers than we give them credit for. And again, and that's something else in this offense that they couldn't even get to last year, was having pass-catching backs. Because Cam, especially on the short throws where he has to move a little bit, is potluck.
Not accurate.
Yeah.
Inaccurate.
So it could be feet, could be knees, could be head, could be over your head. And that, to me, you felt like JJ's okay.
Okay. Because I get a little worried. You know how it is. Everybody's standing on the sidelines down at practice. Everybody's standing on the hill looking down. And I'm looking at JJ, and people are coming up to me and saying, I don't know.
JJ the Jet Plane? Did you ever watch JJ the Jet Plane?
No, what is that? Oh, wait, was that the little cartoon?
Yeah.
Yeah, was that like on the same show as Underdog?
No.
Do you remember Underdog?
Yeah, Underdog was like from when I was a little kid.
Yeah, but I loved Underdog. Why? Am I allowed to watch timeless cartoons?
You can watch timeless cartoons, but JJ the Jet Plane came out in like 1995.
I don't remember that.
All right, I'll talk you through it afterwards.
That would have been like my sweet spot, but you know what? I'm not sure JJ the Jet Plane was targeting 7-year-old girls as much.
All right.
All right, let's go to break. Thanks, Diz.
Fair enough.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
More Boston Sports Talk now. This is Fitzy and Mego on EEI.
Yeah. Oh, sick. They say these bonds are like COVID. You get them right off the bat. Attracted with SARS and Corona.
Yes, Tom.
Like you took a bite off of that.
Yeah. Tom.
It goes from Martian to human.
That's Tom is possessed in studio.
Come at me with machine guns. We don't have Twitch going right now, right?
No.
Good. Still stacking
my chips. No, they don't do that for the weekend.
Is this more terminology? Probably not.
Oh, come on, Tom. This is Eminem.
This is Eminem?
Yeah, it's new stuff. Yeah.
Why does he sound like this? This doesn't sound like Eminem.
His voice has definitely changed. I'm a yacht rock, southern rock, Jim McMurtry guy, so.
Yacht rock is having like a second renaissance.
I think it's almost past its renaissance and back out the other side.
Well, because it had like an ironic renaissance. Like, oh, it's yacht rock summer.
Yeah, now we're out the other side.
Now it's not cool again?
Yeah, but I'm always going to be riding with the yacht rock.
What's your number one yacht rock?
That's how much I feel for you, baby.
I don't even know what that is.
That's Ambrosia.
Ambrosia?
How much I feel. Yeah, all Ambrosia songs are big for me. Little River Band is great for me.
I think of yacht rock as like Rod Stewart.
No.
Or Neil Diamond.
Toto.
Yeah, Toto is.
Toto's yacht rock?
99. Africa? Woo.
I don't think of Toto as yacht rock.
Okay, stop furrowing. I know.
I need to get my Botox again.
No, it's just, you're like so disgusting.
Giving myself lines. Well, because I don't know what Ambrosia is.
That's how much I feel for you, baby.
That's anyway. Beautiful, dulcet tones on a Saturday afternoon with Tom Curran, who's here from NBC Sports Boston. He's filling in for Nick Fitzy Stevens, who's on vacation. And we are talking about the first week of Patriots camp. The pads are not on yet, but we are still jumping to conclusions, particularly at the quarterback position. And what we have right now is a young, what I said, ankle biter, biting at the heels of Cam Newton. And it's only week one, and they're already both acknowledging this quarterback competition going on. We also heard from Mac Jones. Did you ask this question? Because I'm now realizing that every clip that we're polling is a question that you asked in camp.
Yeah, and I wonder why that is since I sent them in.
So we asked Mac Jones, or somebody did. I'm not allowed to ask because I'm in the 30A tier of reporting. So I have to stand back on the hill and try to listen to what the other reporters are saying down at the mics.
Yes.
But we had Mac Jones talk about how he feels about the quarterback competition.
Butch. Cam says he views it as a quarterback competition, not just with you, but with
that's Brian, Mike Giardi,
Stid, whatever. Do you view it the same way?
Yeah, I mean, we're all competing for a job or whatever, and it's Our goal is to win, so I guess they're going to obviously play the best player, and that's going to be whoever it may be, and I'm just here to work, and like you said, I mean, I got to get better, so I'm young, and I know that, and I have to produce on the field and do exactly what I'm supposed to do on each play and fix every problem, so if I can do that, then things will work out.
God, doesn't he sound young there?
Yeah.
I'm going to do what I have to do to succeed.
Yeah, I mean,
he sounded nervous to me.
Yeah, I don't blame him. I mean, it's his first training camp press conference, and I'm sure that he is under strict instructions. Look, don't give these guys anything to just do their stories. I mean, we don't need to do that. Just keep it simple. Talk about yourself. So you're just trying to get better and get out of there, okay? So he wants to do that because he very much wants to. And this is the interesting thing. It's a good segue maybe for the end of this segment and maybe into next hour is, okay, so Mac does all these things really well. What does Mac have holding him back that Cam has over him? And that is that Mac wants to be a pleaser. Mac understands the opportunity in front of him. But his biggest obstacle, I think, is how well he allows himself to move on from bad plays.
Well, that is something I think I heard you ask him on Friday. Was that yesterday? The days all blend in training camp. But you asked him how able he is to move on from plays. And he said kind of like, oh, yeah, that's something that you always have to do, as if it wasn't something new. But at this level, with this level of scrutiny, I've talked to other people about this, and they said, well, he was the Alabama quarterback. He's the Alabama quarterback. He's used to the giant spotlight. In ways, being the Alabama quarterback might have been a bigger deal than being the Patriots quarterback. And I just don't buy that.
Yeah, that's an unmitigated pile of crap. Really is.
Tell me how you really feel.
The reason it is absolutely incomparable is when you have Jalen Waddle and help me out with the other guys whose names are escaping me at this point, the guy who won the friggin' Heisman, when you have them at your disposal, and Najee Harris, you're not going to see a lot of adversity. The adversity that Mac Jones faced in coming from Jacksonville in high school and then to Alabama was in winning the job. But the on-field adversity that you have at Alabama doesn't look the same as on-field adversity will look like, say, when you are against Dante Hightower and Devin McCourty and Kyle Duggar, as Cam Newton alluded to. It's going to be hard. There's going to be some bad plays, and there's going to be a few bad plays in a row. How will Mac Jones do if he goes three and out three times against a team like the Jets, who, like it or not, is probably twice as good as Alabama? Because Alabama might have a bunch of pros. The Jets have all pros, all of them, every single one. So this jump is going to be significant. Does Mac Jones have a good enough backlog of dealing with on-field adversity so that the plays don't bleed together? The reason I brought that up is it's something that we saw on Thursday with Mac when he had a bad close to camp, to his drills, and then kind of looked like a 12-year-old Little League pitcher who just got lit up.
Hung his head. Punched the turf.
Little bit of stomping. And then there had to be some interventions by not just Brian Hoyer, but Cam Newton. And that's why I asked the question about not letting plays bleed together.
All right, let's go to Steven from Northbridge. He wants to talk about Mac versus Cam. Steven?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Steve?
What's going on?
Hey, so I just wanted to touch on something Tom said earlier. He was talking about production and consistency. And so, obviously, Mac has been a little bit more productive just done based on who has had the better throw. But,
sure. Like,
you say consistency, maybe he hasn't been as consistent. Maybe he's been better. Cam's been consistently bad, but he's still been consistent. Bill can trust in him that he knows what he's going to get, you know?
Yeah,
he knows that he's going to get his bad.
I think
maybe not bad, below average, you know, but when you throw Mac out there and you expect him to make great throws and he's all over the place, then it's a little harder to control. And, you know, Bill loves control.
But, so. Steve, when have we seen that? I mean, in the first three or four days, we don't see a great variation in what Mac Jones does. He doesn't have horrendous plays. He might have plays that don't end up as successful, but they don't end up looking horrendous. It's not a wide disparity. You know what I'm saying?
No, I agree. But my point moreover, not just what we've seen, there's such a small sample, but the ceiling. We kind of know Cam's ceiling, whereas Mac, he could be a much better quarterback, but with Cam, you know what you're going to get every day. I mean, it might be 20 incompletions, but you know exactly what you're going to get, you know?
And that's
that's where Phil's headed at.
And that's why the statement of establishing a level is really important. All right, so what's the worst this kid can do? His level, separate from Cam, what's the worst this kid can do? And if that worst he can do is, you know, make some bad reads and not hold the offense hostage, well, that's something you can work with.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Stephen. And when we come back, we're going to go to the break shortly. But when we come back, we will get into some of the new receivers and some of the new weapons that have come in. And we will take your calls. Call in at 617-779-7937. Text line is 37937. We're talking Patriots. Talking Patriots training camp week one. Pads aren't on yet, but the competition already is between Cam Newton and Mac Jones. When we come back, we'll get into the rest of the roster and continue to talk to you guys about the quarterbacks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.